going to go through only one scripture because there is so much in this one scripture. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The topic that I will give today, 1 John 4:4, the topic that I will give today is the power of God in the believer. The power of God in the believer. I know that a lot of people sometimes say, you know, I don't feel the power of God in me. Where is it? That's what we are going to see today. And as we continue in the same context, we are going to see the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. We see that John is going to shed more light on this subject. For the true Christian, this scripture is much comforting. It gives a lot of security because it says you are of God. What security is that? To say you are of God instead of say you are of Satan. So it's great security. You are of God, little children. And this is talking, of course, it's talking to the elect of God, talking to the true believers. He is speaking to the true Christian, the elect of God, the true Christians. They have tried the spirits. We saw this. They have already tested the spirits. That means they have already tested the false teachers. And they tested everybody in the light of Word of God, whether to see that they are true or not. The Spirit of God that is in the true Christians bears witnesses. It bears witness that we are the children of God. Because the Spirit of God and the Spirit of truth, it goes together. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of truth goes together. What is the Spirit of truth? It's the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit that bears witness with the Spirit of God goes together. The true Christian will hear the truth. They will hear the truth. They will hear God's Word. If you remember, Jesus said, my sheep hears my voice, and they will follow me. Not only they hear the Word of God, but they will also fear God. Hearing and fearing goes together. You turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 11. Hearing and fearing. A lot of people hear, but they don't fear. Deuteronomy 13:11 says, Israel shall hear and what? And fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this among you. So you hear and fear, because there's reverence to the Word of God. Now, because there's interesting, if the gospel is being preached, and if the gospel is being preached to two people, we'll say, all right, or more than two people, it is the same message that is being preached, but some will hear it being preached, and they will repent, and they will admit of their sins, and they will come to know God. But in the same room, there are others who also will hear. It's the same message, but they will not get saved. Why is it that one person gets saved, but gets saved? And the other person who hears it, but they won't get saved. You know why? Because saving grace is of God. Now, if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, you will see 13, verse. You turn with me to Matthew. He's saying here, Matthew 13, starting from verse 13, and it says here, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they see." Verse 14 says, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing he shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is facts gross, shall not perceive, are of dull hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, should not be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and ears for your ears, for they hear, and your eyes, for they see." They hear, but they don't understand. Says here, the unspiritual man cannot understand the spiritual things of God. So everything is of God. You understand? Everything is of God. Only the true born-again Christians will only the word of God. They will understand. And if they are not truly born again, they will hear, but they will not understand with reverence. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, we see this very, in 2 Timothy 1:9, "Saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ," when? "Purpose and grace before the world began." And here, God saved us and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. That means salvation is nothing that we have done, no works. If it's our works, there's no grace. So he called us and he saved us. Nothing that we, there's no grace. Nothing that we have to do salvation, but he called us and saved us not according to our works, but according to his own purpose, not our purpose, not our decision, but his own purpose. Salvation is of grace, and this grace was given when? Before the world began. This grace was given when we were even born to this world. This grace was given to us. Wow. So, hearing. You are of God. John says, you are of God. That means he's talking. You little children are God. You are of God. That means the security for the believer. Our God. You are really that you are. Gave this grace for us before the world began. That's awesome. That's amazing. Now, also let me show you some other scriptures here. Please, very awesome to understand. And if you turn with me to Acts chapter 13, verse 48. Paul, they go and preach the gospel. Now when they were glad and God. And as many as had been what? Appointed to eternal life, believed. Who believed? The word of God. The people who had been appointed to eternal life. Grace was given before the for eternal life. For eternal life. And people will believe. And also, you know, Romans chapter, let's go to that later. Now, the acts of God can be divided into two. the acts of God can be divided into two. Can be divided into eternal acts of God that we will not see. The external acts of God are visible that we will see. And the external acts of God are done in time. Okay? And we are in time. Creatures of time, right? Without time, we cannot live today. Because we are time, we are born, and we die at a time, and we need time. So everything is done in time. So we will see these external acts of God because they are done in time. What are the external acts of God? His creation. What are the external? His providence and His redemption. They are done in time. These are the external acts of God that are visible. Then there are the internal acts of God. These acts of God are not visible. They cannot be seen to us because they are not done during, they are done in eternity. You understand? These were mysteries that were hidden before and now being revealed to us. That's why in 2 Timothy 1:9 says that we were saved before this grace was given before what? The world began. As an in given before. Alright? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. And this was done before. And verse 5 says, verse 4, that He chose us in Him, Ephesians 1:4, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blameless. And here we see the internal acts of God that belongs to His divine mind. Their divine mind. Transactions involved among the Godhead within the Trinity. These operations and these transactions were in reference to the salvation of man, to the election. And that happened before the time began. These are internal acts of God. Yeah. These are in 33 verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He had chosen for His own inheritance. He had chosen is the counsel of God. His purpose. Why is it that some hear the gospel and they are saved and some not? It is God's counsel. It's His will, not our will. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no come to me, and him that out. John 6:37. Now, we are of God. Wow! Isn't that amazing? We are of God. You are of God. It shows that the awesome power of God, an internal act of God, that power of God gave us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. The elect, the true Christians, could not be finally and totally be seduced and be destroyed. They cannot be. Of course, we will go through ups and downs. We will backslide. But finally, we can. We will backslide. Because grace is there. God's mercy is always there. And we will eventually, we will discern the truth and error. Then 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. After he says, you are of God, then he says, you have overcome them. the true Christians have overcome them. Who are these people when John says them here? It is the false teachers and the false teachings. And the false you have come from a false church. How many? How many have heard the deceptive teachings from a false church? And I'll tell you, a false church doesn't always preach false doctrine. Church doesn't always, they preach a lot of good, correct, sound doctrine. Now that is the danger. Because they use the Bible, they even preach good, sound doctrine. But also, as a, that little bit error in there that they preach, that little bit error dangerous for our souls. They mix the truth and the false together. That's why so many people, they are so gullible and they just will take everything what they preach. They are deceived because in they preach the little poison there, which is false. That's the deception. And here, how did we overcome these false teachers? How? We have overcome them. How did we overcome them? Our intellectual knowledge. It's not by our wisdom. It is only by God's gracious assistance from the Holy Spirit. It's not anything to do within us. The Spirit of God, it is a sword of the Spirit for us to see which is right and what is not right. What is the sword of the Spirit? It is the Word of God. The weapon of God against the power of the enemy is the Word of God. And also through prayer we can overcome them. We can stand through prayer we can overcome them because of the blood of the Lamb that are slain and through the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 says, we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. Not war after the flesh. Most of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's a spiritual battle. Casting down imaginations. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing thing that exalted its thought to the obedience of Christ. It is Christ who clothes us with His armor. We come naked, Christ clothes us with His armor as we are furnished with the weapons of God, the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, you know, talk about verse 12 and so forth, talk about putting on the full armor of God. It is the armor of God. Without that, we'll be dead. We'll be powerless. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 5 says that faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in what? In the power of God. Our faith, that is, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, is not standing in the wisdom of man, but it is the power of God. That means what? The wisdom of men is they walk according to the flesh, according to their emotions, according to what they see visibly. That's the wisdom of men, the intellectual wisdom. But the Word of God, we walk by faith, in trusting the Word of God. That's the power of God. You want to experience the power of God? That's the power of God. Not what you see, not what you feel. Otherwise, you will never experience the power of God. Because, then John says, because greater is He that is in you. Wow. Than that is in the world. Greater is He that is in you than that is in the world. Who is greater? Who is greater that is in you? It's the Spirit of God that is in you. It's the God Spirit that is in you is greater. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of His. So here we see the true Christian who lives in us. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. Then verse 10 says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The question is Christ living in you? That's the question. Is the Spirit of God is in you? If not, you're not a Christian. Then it says, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. See, the power of God, when Jesus was dead, who raised Jesus? It's the Spirit of God with power that raised Him. That the same Spirit dwells in you. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Because the Spirit that lives in us is greater than that is in the world. This is referring again in context to the devil who influences false teachers. He is the God of this world. So the Spirit of God that is in us is greater than the devil. Greater than the demons, greater than the false teachers, greater than the Antichrist. Because the devil is also great. He has a lot of power. He is the God of this world. And we see the God of this world, what has he done? In 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the whom of the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers that they will not here they will not believe the glorious gospel of Christ. That's a lot of power. But he that is in you is greater than him. The Spirit of God that is in you is greater. But if you have the Spirit of God, Romans says that you will walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Right? When the Word of God says that He is in you, is greater, it means He is stronger. He is powerful than the enemy. We are not strong on our own. Absolutely not. It is the power of God that is in us that makes the Christian strong. A real good scripture is Psalm chapter 124, starting from verse 1. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose against us, then they would have swallowed us alive when their wrath was kindled against us. Wow. If not for the Lord who was on our side, if not for Him, we would have been swallowed by the enemy. That's what he's saying there. Then he says that, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. The stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. Verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, let us really comprehend this. And let us see how it's going to profit us in our hearts, how we study. As I'm speaking to a mixed multitude of people here, and also people who listen all over the nation or the world who ask for tapes, some of them are not Christians who are going to listen to this message. And some of them are Christians, and some of them are hypocrites who claim to be Christians but not truly Christians. So there's a mixed multitude here. And how do we know in reality that the Spirit of God is greater and powerful in me? Think about it. How do you know that? Have you ever experienced the Spirit of God? Have you experienced in your life when John says, he that is in greater than he who is in the world. Yeah? He's talking to children of God here. How do you know? Think about it. If you're an extremely powerful person with a lot of authority, with a lot of wealth, and you have a lot of, everybody is under you, and you are a very powerful person, you will not see another power who is powerful than you. Do you? No. Because you have all the authority, all the power, all the wealth, we will not see another power who is greater than you. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar, when he said, it is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of this kingdom by the mighty power and the honor of my majesty? Didn't he say that? He saw how powerful, how majestic, how honorable he was. He didn't see the power of God, did he? Absolutely not. But what did God do? God had to humble King Nebuchadnezzar to zero. Made him eat grass like a cow for 7 years. King Nebuchadnezzar, when he was totally humbled, he saw the infinite power of God. So, when do we see the power of God? If you have been following with me, when do we see the power of God? Do we see the power of God when we have a lot of authority, when we are really rich, we have all the wealth, when we have all the power within ourselves? Do we see the power of God? No, we don't. We see the power of God when? When we are weak. When we are weak, realize how small your strength is. Then we can glorify God. That's the time you see the power of God. Now let me tell you, I'm going to show you some of this in line what I'm saying here. Now some of you, you had never seen the power of God, you had never experienced the power of God because, number one, you are not saved. If you are not saved, you will not see the power of God. The initial power of God is seen in salvation. the initial power of God is seen in salvation. This is where how God can bring a dead sinner to life. That's the power of God. How God can bring a dead sinner who has been bounded by the enemy, who is in total darkness, and how can God can bring this soul alive, releasing the power of the enemy and bringing to the light of God. This is the power of God. Remember, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. When Jesus came, they told, it's too late. And everybody was crying because there was a funeral here. And Jesus wept because he was very close to Lazarus. And what did Jesus do? He brought that dead person. One, the man who was dead for 4 days. What did Jesus do? Lazarus come forth, and he became alive. That's the power of God. A person who is dead, people who are mourning in this funeral saw the power of God and they began to rejoice God. Amazing. So the power of God can convert a murderer to a missionary. Remember Apostle Paul, who was a murderer, was converted to a missionary. The power of God can convert tax collector, thieves, prostitutes to saints. That's the power of God. And this is the power of God in salvation. Of how about you? How about you? Where do you come from? In your salvation, did you see the power of God? If you say, yes, I've seen the power of God in my salvation. I've seen can see the power of God in salvation. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. And he shall receive me. Wow. It's the power of God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. You, he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. What did he say? He made you alive. For him to make you alive, you got to be dead before. Otherwise you cannot make a live person alive. Because he's already alive. You had to be dead before, right? Alright. So when you were dead, can you remember in the book of Genesis, God told Adam, when you eat of this fruit, you shall what? Surely die. So we were spiritually dead. And what did God say? He made you alive, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, we don't deserve it, because of his mercy, because of his great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, what did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Wow. Amazing. Then you will see, so in salvation you see the power of God. In your growth you will see the power of God. In your growth. Because when you switch sides, when you come from darkness to the light, you are switching sides. When you switch sides, the enemy is going to get mad at you. He will tempt you in all directions. You know, enemy is going to tempt you only when you are reading the Word of God, only when you are doing something for the Lord, that's the time the enemy tempts you. He will not tempt you if you are already walking in the flesh, you know, watching in the movie house, or he's not going to tempt you if you are in the bar drinking. You're already in his sight. But so the temptation comes when you're already in the Word, or you're as a servant serving God. That's the time the temptation comes. Jesus was tempted when? In the desert. What was he doing? He was praying and fasting. You see that? So the temptation comes when you are in the Word. So in your growth, there will be temptation. In your growth, there will be temptation. Enemy gets mad. He will come with all directions. So there is going to be a spiritual battle. You will not see the power of God if you are not in a spiritual battle. You had to be, only when you are in a spiritual battle, you will see the power of God. Because in a spiritual battle, there is a battle here, a fight. There is a war here. Now, in the war, somebody is going to lose, somebody is going to win. And when there is a battle, we see that we are hopeless. We cannot win the battle against the enemy. Unless God is in our side, then we will see the power of God. Remember, the American soldiers in Afghanistan, they are in a totally a different country, different land, different soil. Everything is different. But they are winning the war because of the ammunition, because of the technology. If not for that, we'll be all losers. I'm talking the same scale here. I'm saying here that we cannot win the battle if not for God. Remember Joseph. Remember Gideon. The Midianites, they were like the seas of the, they were like the sands of the seashore. These enemies, the Midianites, many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of our, the majority, vast is the enemy. And Israel had 32,000 people to go against the Midianites. What did God tell Gideon? Gideon got too many people. You know how many people left at the end? 32,000 people is too many to fight against these multitudes of the enemy. God told 29,000 to leave. Only 300 were left. God said, 300, that's enough. Why did God do that? 300 people? No, that doesn't make sense. You know why? God reduced it to 300 people to show what? To show how weak we are, that we cannot win the battle, but it is the power of God that's going to win the battle. Only when we are weak, we will see the power of God. Only when we are weak. 300 people, they were able to come and conquer the Midianites. Why? The battle belonged to the Lord. He is the captain of the host. Remember Joseph. He went through a spiritual battle, didn't he? And the enemy came where? Not from outside, within his own family, right? A lot of times the enemy will come within. And Joseph was innocent, but his brothers hated him, tried to kill him. They were jealous. But God in his providence delivered Joseph to Egypt. But in Egypt we saw the trials, but he still trusted in God. We saw the spiritual battles when Potiphar's wife tempted him to sleep with him and tried to seduce him. We saw the trials when he was put in jail. But yet, he trusted in God. He was weak, but he saw the power of God when God delivered him and made him to a prime minister. He that is in us is what? Greater than he who is in the world. Then we see the poor shepherd boy, David, against this giant, massive Goliath. From the perspective of the world, it is impossible to win the battle against Goliath. And this little lad, to win against Goliath is impossible. But what did David do when he was coming? What did David say when he came against Goliath? David said to Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of God of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Wow. He trusted in God alone. When you're weak, what do you see? You see the power of God. What is this? This is faith, isn't it? Without faith, you cannot please God. A lot of times we want to see everything. We have to calculate everything. We got to see our own mind. We got to, you know, 1 + 1 has to be 2. You know, everything has to be like that. All right. We got to have this money in the bank. We got to do this. We got to have this security. All right. Looks good. I have peace now. That's not peace. That doesn't look good. That's your wisdom. But when everything is falling apart, I don't know. Fall at your feet and pray. Then God will deliver you. That is faith. We don't walk by what? Sight. But by faith. In trusting in God. David saw this was a battle between God and the enemy. I'll tell you, God has never lost a battle, nor ever he will. Then again we see in David's life, there was another enemy that came within the house of Israel. And this was his own king, came to kill him. And this was a spiritual battle again. But we see the power of God in David's life. When David was able to cry out to God and say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Even if a king is coming against me, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" King David was a man after God's own heart. He was just like us. And there was a spiritual battle. The enemy will not stop. He kept coming and coming and coming. And he tempted David. And he fell into adultery. It looks like the enemy had victory. But what did I tell you? 2 Timothy 1:9. Remember? He gave us grace before the foundation of the world. He chose us before the foundation of the world. It looks like the enemy had victory. But I'll tell you, God's grace and mercy was enough. David was pardoned. He was saved. David was delivered because of God's mercy and grace. It was God's mercy and grace that he was able to realize that he sinned against God. He was able to repent. Even repentance comes not because of how good we are. God's mercy and grace. Then we see the prophet Isaiah, how God comforted him. You can read in Isaiah chapter 6 how King Uzziah died. He lived for 50 odd years, King Uzziah. But when the king died, who reigned the country for about 58 years, people were mourning. Because long live the king, is dead. And Isaiah, he sees another king. And this is the eternal king. And he's seated on the throne. What does he see? He sees this king. Angels are crying out and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Wow. And we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through a spiritual battle when they refused to worship the image where King Nebuchadnezzar made. But how God delivered them from the fire. They did not compromise. They stood in the word of God by faith. If God was going to kill them, let it be. If God is going to roast me, like a roast chicken, let it be. God be the glory. But God can deliver me if he wants to. It's his will. And they trusted in God. These three little kids, they didn't have the whole Bible at that time. It's just trusting in God. And how we see how Daniel was delivered by the lion. Throughout the Bible, one story after the other, one after the one page after the other page, what do we see? The power of God. We see from the very beginning how Satan tried to destroy the church. Remember the children of Israel, when they were servants to the Egyptians, slaves, how God delivered them when they came to the Red Sea. Absolutely, that's the end. They thought, finish. There's no way that we can be saved. What did God do? The most impossible thing made the Red Sea totally separate, and he divided the sea. They were able to walk on what? On dry sand. It's the power of God. When you're weak, you will see the power of God. Isaiah said, chapter 40, verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. It doesn't say he giveth power to the strong, because the strong doesn't need power. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 40, verse 29. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7 says, have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Wow, this is a great scripture. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What are we? We are just an earthen vessel. That means what? We are breakable. We are weak. It's an earthen vessel that can be breakable. It's weak. But what? It's a treasure. A treasure in an earthen vessel? That's impossible, isn't it? Do you see a treasure in a breakable vessel? No, it's always in a vault nobody can open. But here, we are breakable, but it's a treasure, that the excellence and the power of God and not of us. In an earthen vessel, there's a treasure. It is a glorified God, because it is the power of God that in an earthen vessel there can be a treasure. It's only the power of God. You know, a lot of other people go through trials, difficulties, unbelievers. But we Christians, everybody goes through difficult trials, and, you know, even the unbelievers go through those things, you know. But they're depending on their own strength. But we trust in God alone. God's power is manifested to the humble and the weak. Those who are proud and so say they are strong, they will not see the power of God. And if you're trusting in your money, your bank account, your intelligence, your wisdom, and your boasting and everything, you know, you will not see the power of God. You cannot see. So God gives supernatural power to us. Why does He give supernatural power to us? Why? He saved us. That's a supernatural power. But still, He keeps us with His supernatural power. Why? Why does He give supernatural power? He gives the supernatural power for His service. Not for you to just go to football games and to Disneyland and to go to Knott's Berry Farm and to have entertainment and pleasure. You will not see the power of God. Alright? If you are in that, you will not see the power of God. He gives the power of God for service. For His service. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. What does it say? But you shall receive what? Power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now He gets power for His service. To witness. To give the gospel for His service, for His servants. Now I have experienced, me personally, I have experienced the power of God when I was in the mission field. I praise the Lord. And those who are in the front lines, in the battlefield, can experience the power of God. But those who are walking after the flesh, those who are lazy, comfortable, and you are looking for entertainment and pleasure and always on TV and, you know, looking for the pleasures of this world, you will not experience the power of God. And if you are following the crowd, you will not see the power of God. Only to true servants of God, He will give this power. Why? To do His service. We are the minority. Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we wish in our perfection, in your perfection. So only when we are weak, we become strong in the Lord. Remember Moses. He died. When Moses died, his successor was Joshua. Was appointed by God. He was going to lead the children of Israel. And Joshua had a goal. God had a goal. And the goal is what? To take the promised land. And Joshua is the leader. From the perspective of the world, you can calculate and see, if we are going to take the promised land, let's calculate and see. Let's see the enemy. Enemy is vast. And they are huge. They are like giants. We are small. And we are few. How can we do this? Impossible. It is impossible. But remember, God told Abraham when he was old, you're going to have a son. In his old age. And Sarah laughed and said, this is impossible. But God said, what? Is anything too hard for the Lord? See, what was the, in Jeremiah, he realized this when he said in Jeremiah 32:17, our Lord God, behold, thou had made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched arm. Is there anything too hard for thee? If God created the heavens and the earth, is anything too hard for the Lord? So, what was the instruction that God gave Joshua? To conquer the promised land. It is not the instruction of military technology at that time or military power, but it is the spiritual strength. If you turn with me to Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. This is the instruction. You want to see the power of God? Read Joshua chapter 1, starting from verse 6. And it says here, "Be strong and good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and be courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you." Now God is telling Joshua, be strong. Now how can Joshua be strong? Then he says, "Do not turn from it, from the law of God, to the right or to the left, that you may prosper." Then verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will succeed." You want to be strong? You want to be strong? It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is powerful. Remember, at the end of the age, when the whole world with Satan is against Christ, how is Christ going to defeat Satan? By the sword of the Spirit. With one word, he shall fall. The Word of God. It's the same. This is the Word of God. And God told Joshua, be strong, Paul, encourage yourself. Why? The Word of God. Meditate it day and night. When you meditate in the Word of God day and night, you can overcome the enemy. You will see the power of God that is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You will see when the enemy came to Jesus, what did he do? When the enemy came to Jesus, he used the Word of God. Did he have a Bible? When the enemy came, did Jesus go, Deuteronomy chapter? No. Where was the Word of God? Where was it? In his heart. Memorized. See? The Word of God should be in your heart. When you go outside into the world, when you get tempted, are you going, where's my Bible? Temptation is coming. Where is the Bible? I can't find it. The scripture should come into you and say, no fornicator shall inherit the kingdom of God. The scripture should come into you. When you see the temptations coming to you, when you go into the mall and this and that, greediness, covetousness, what are you going to do? Temptation is coming. Where is the Bible? I can't find it. No. Right then and there, the enemy comes suddenly right there, and you have to have the scriptures to quote against the enemy. Are you meditating the Word of God? Are you reading the Word of God? Are you studying the Word of God? Are you meditating the Word of God? And if you are, praise the Lord, you're walking in the Spirit. And if you're not, you're walking in the flesh. You will never see the power of God. You're walking in the flesh. You will never see the power of God. I'll tell you, the greatest thing is to see is the power of God. It's not my mind. It's not my power. It's His power. And His power is in the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Oh, Father, how great you are, Lord. How awesome you are. How powerful you are. And how weak we are, Lord. And cause us to see, Lord, your greatness, your power. And that we would see the power of God that is in us, Lord. And that we would glorify you, Lord. It's all of you, Lord. Everything is of you. Oh, Father, cause us not to walk according to the things that we see, according to circumstances, situations, that we would trust in you, Lord. And Lord God Almighty, we saw the what happened to Lot, the difference between Abraham and Lot. When Abraham's servants and Lot's servants, they were fighting as they were growing. When Abraham told Lot, you go one way, I will go one way, but I give you the choice. You select where you want to go. And we saw how Lot, he saw Sodom and Gomorrah, how beautiful that luscious land he saw. And he picked up that area because he was walking by sight. But Abraham walked by faith. And Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah because the sight looked so gorgeous, so beautiful. And we saw what happened to Lot. He lost his wife, was turned into a pillar of salt because he was walking by sight. Oh Father, cause us not to walk by sight, Lord, because our flesh is weak and there's a great enemy and the world is tempting around us, Lord, that we would be like the early Christians, Lord. Give us the faith of Abraham, Lord. Give us the faith of Daniel, Lord. Give us the faith of the children that were able to overcome the power of the enemy, Lord. Give us the faith of David, Lord, who was able to overcome Goliath. Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would give us this faith, Lord. Only you can save us, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us a thirst and a hunger for the Word of God, that would meditate the Word of God day and night, Lord, that we would hide it in our hearts, Lord, that we would be able to see the power of God when we walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.